Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'll break that record. I've heard it too many times. I never want to hear it again. Welcome to The Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. But, ladies and gentlemen, I figured it would be an easy day. I figured Friday, you know, unprotected talk. We would just breeze through the show. And I wake up, and there he did it again. This crazy, dictatorial, narcissistic, anti-American maniac has just threatened all of Congress, including most of the Democrat Party that's sane, that if they should dare put sanctions on Iran, he will veto the bill. And take a guess who is standing alongside him, going amen with this dictator. None other than the reincarnation of King George III. And that would be Cameron. How do you feel living in America and having a British prime minister dictating policy to this nation? How do you feel about that? I don't feel very good about it. President Obama, joined by British dictator King David Cameron III, sharply warned Congress today, don't you dare pursue new sanctions on Iran or I will veto them. Listen to the soundbite. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear.
Now, if Iran cannot provide us the kind of assurances that would lead myself and David Cameron and others to conclude that they are not obtaining a nuclear weapon, then we're going to have to explore other options. And I will be the first one to come to Congress and say we need to tighten the screws. And Congress needs to show patience. With respect to the veto, I will veto a bill that comes to my desk. And I will make this argument to the American people as to why I'm doing so. And I respectfully request them to hold off for a few months to see if we have the possibility of solving a big problem without resorting potentially to war.
I have a question for you. Does anyone listening to this show believe that Obama is not owned lock, stock, and barrel by Iran? Why does Obama insist that Iran can be trusted? Even one of the leading Democrats, Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat in New Jersey, have said in an argument, by the way, at a Democratic summit yesterday, the New York Times is reporting that Menendez got into a sharp exchange with dictator Obama, arguing that if Obama waited as he wants to, sanctions will not be able to be imposed quickly enough if the talks collapse. So I'm asking you a question. You know, maybe this is beyond your pay scale. Maybe this is beyond the average American. Maybe they don't want to hear this. Maybe they don't want to hear it. I mean, people go about their business. They say, I can only take so much politics. I don't even know where Iran is. Is he talking about Rock and Roll Friday, Iran all the way home? Is that what he's saying? What does he mean, Iran? Do you know what I'm talking about? Iran is a terrorist sponsoring nation. Iran is the number one state sponsor of ISIS. Do you understand what's at stake here? Do you comprehend that your president has told Congress to drop dead, including Democrats who have a conscience, and he's told Congress, drop dead, we're not putting sanctions on them. If you put sanctions on them to stop their nuclear program, I'll veto them because I'm God. And who's standing next to him? King George III. We're back where we started from before the American Revolution. Only now it's worse. When the British ran America, they had an American stooge. Now the American dictator has a British stooge. How do you feel about this? Let me see if you're even going to call about this. Is this resonating with the American people? You know, if you look at history, this is sort of when Hitler took, let's say, Czechoslovakia. You know what? If he takes one more country, then we're going to impose sanctions on Germany. And if Congress dares impose sanctions on Germany now, I will go and veto that. Because Mr. Hitler and I understand each other. This is exactly like that. So then Hitler takes another country, and the cowards get up, the appeasers, and they say, if Congress dares put sanctions on Hitler, we're going to veto it because we're working with Hitler. And he's a reputable man. He's a good man. All those mullahs in Iran who say they're going to wipe Israel off the map. All the Muslims in Iran who say they're going to wipe the U.S., the big devil, off the map. They don't really mean it. They don't say what they mean. They're not Muslims. They've hijacked the Islamic religion. The real Muslims are somewhere, but we don't know where they are. We're looking for a few of them. Let me take the temperature of the Savage Nation. Maybe I'm the only one who's excited about this. Maybe I'm the only one who understands what's going on. On my own show. Certainly not the only one in the world who understands what Obama's doing here. Remember, the major state sponsor of terrorism in the world is Iran. Look at America. You know, many of us sponsor wounded warriors, don't we? We see those heartbreaking TV ads of soldiers with arms and legs, brain damaged. Do you know who planted those IEDs? Obama's new pals. The Iranians were behind it. Do you have any idea what's going on here? That Cameron and Obama are now stooges of the mullahs of Iran, giving them enough time to develop a nuclear weapon where it will then be too late to stop them. You say, well, why shouldn't they have a nuclear weapon? Everyone else does. Why shouldn't Iran have one? Israel does. That's what I'm going to hear next. Well, let me explain something to you. I haven't heard Israel say they're going to wipe Iran off the map. I haven't heard Israel say they're going to wipe a nation or a people off the map. I haven't heard Israel say they're going to commit genocide, but I've heard that from Iran for about 10 years now. So let me take your temperature now on the Savage Nation. Let's start in New York. Well, I don't know if it's New York, but let's start with line one. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Really, I've been fuming over Oprah Winfrey mostly today.
Let me hear your name, your station, and your topic.
Andrew, Stanhope, New Jersey, WABC, Oprah, racist.
Hanging up. You're a regular. I don't like regulars. I don't want regulars. They're the death of talk radio. You got to understand something. This may be unprotected talk, but if the same lunatics who call every show with the same story, Andrew from New York, Donna from WM, they're off the air. I don't want to hear them again. It's the death of talk radio. I want fresh blood, fresh ideas. Next line, number three, go ahead. Station, topic, name. No one. Station, topic, name, line three, dead in the water. Line five, you're next up. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Name's Joe, WVLK, Lexington, Kentucky. Obama is a traitor to this nation. I agree. He took the words right out of my mouth. Who planted the IEDs? Who's responsible for the maiming and the death of all our American soldiers in the last 13 years? The Iranians. You know, the nuclear weapon point. But I heard a good line the other day. Somebody said, we shall speak the truth in the face of collective delusion. And that is exactly what I think this country is turning into.
Do you think that Obama is deluded, or do you think he's an operative of Iran? Because I have read many, many reports that he is doing the bidding of Valerie Jarrett. If you look into Valerie Jarrett, you know she is of Iranian descent, which, of course, unto itself means nothing. I know many Iranian people who are fabulous. But in her case, there are links to the Muslim Brotherhood through her father. Are you aware of any of this?
No, I know she's an evil woman, and she certainly, it's like, let's figure out what's good for America and do the opposite. You know, that.
All right, well, I'll tell you, something is very wrong with this picture. Why is this man, Barack Obama, causing such heartache and tragedy for the American people? Why is Barack Obama going out of his way to give this nation, as the Italians say, agita? Why does he want to give this country such great heartache? Such tragedy and destruction. Why? Tell me why. But even a bigger question is, why would Cameron, allegedly a conservative from England, become Obama's puppet? Why? Cameron has become Obama's sock puppet. Why? How is that possible? Do the British not understand the danger they're in from their little problem over there with Londonistan? I'm going to ask you again, do you know what I'm talking about here? I mean, it could be the unprotected talk, any topic if you want, but I don't think I can go to it right away. I think I have to get another couple of calls on this subject. Line two, next up, topic, name, station.
Eric calling from Michigan, station 760 WJR regarding the President of the United States.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I sort of sense that there are a lot of people in this nation don't think we can stand another 2 years of this guy in office. Therefore, I have a suggestion other than impeachment to possibly remove this guy from office. Essentially what it is the Speaker of the House petitions the Supreme Court of the United States to issue a writ of mandamus instructing the House of Representatives to appoint a special prosecutor to bring forth charges that deal with the issues of violation of his oath of office and possible treason regarding the Gitmo.
It will take, here's the problem, it's too long. This is much too long. And a far quicker method of stopping this man is to impeach him immediately. Now, whether or not the impeachment holds doesn't matter. What will happen is the American people will finally see all of the damage he has done to this country, which I have listed in an entire book. This is not a joke anymore. How do you, when you wake up and you think it just couldn't get any worse and this maniac makes it worse? What in the world is he doing here?
He's wrecking our nation. He's wrecking our nation, and there's going to be a scorched earth approach to his last 2 years of the presidency, and I don't think we should have to endure that. That's what he's doing. And if you remember, with Clinton, there was no successful...
Do you know who Obama has just appointed as Assistant Director for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration in the Department of Homeland Security?
I have to plead ignorance. I do not know.
Her name is Fatima Noor. Her pictures all over the Internet show her in Islamic garb. Do you think this country has been completely taken over by radical Islamists?
All I can offer is this, Dr. Savage. The fact is that this fellow used to be called Barry Soweto, I believe was his original name. He chose to change his name to Barack Hussein Obama. I think the middle name tells us a lot. He didn't have to choose any of those names, but he specifically chose the middle name Hussein. Now, maybe I'm an Islamophobe.
But why does Obama want Iran to have the bomb? Tell me why. That's the real question.
I don't think he knows why, and I don't think...
Yes, what do you mean? Of course he knows why. Don't underestimate his intelligence. He is one of the most intelligent, demonic men in the history of this presidency. Why does he want our worst enemy to have the bomb?
He thinks maybe it evens out the playing field.
Well, let me play checkers and chess at the same time. I'll play quadruple electronic chess, because here's the end game. The minute I return, I'll tell you why Obama wants Iran to have the bomb. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We're talking about Iran, not Iran all the way home. And we wake up to another shock to our system today when the dictator in the White House says to Congress, if you dare put sanctions on Iran to stop them from developing a nuclear weapon, I will veto it. And he has on his string the British sock puppet, Cameron, who goes amen. So you have to ask yourself, why does Obama want Iran to get the nuclear weapon? You say, well, how do you know he wants that? He said he didn't. Let me explain something. I've studied this man's behavior for all the years he's been in office, and here's what he does. He's an extremist. He's an activist. What he does is, he's using a technique known as direct action. The radical left uses direct action, which is they make their policies a fait accompli. So the opposition is nullified before they can even respond. For example, he violated the Constitution by flooding America with illegal aliens over the summer. What happened? Nothing. They're here. They're near. They're everywhere. The illiterates, who do not even read or write Spanish... He flooded America with them. Many of them were diseased. That's why we had TB breaking out in Lynn, Massachusetts. That's where the killer flu is coming from. And if you don't believe me, then don't listen to the CDC. Investigate for yourself how many children have become paralyzed or have died from this virulent flu strain and this virus that was brought in with these so-called Obama's kids on the trains this summer from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. So what he did there was he said, okay, yeah, right, work it out because I'm doing it anyway. Now, with regard to Iran and the bomb, he wants them to have the bomb. So he's saying delay on the sanctions and we'll talk to them and blah, 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 then we'll come back to you. Meanwhile, they'll have the bomb and he'll say, oh, well, now we can't stop them. The cat is out of the bag. This is what he's doing. So that goes to the question of why does he want Iran to have the bomb if they're so bad? Now, all you liberals on the Upper East Side of New York don't care because you know that the president's so smart that he must have a secret plan. for Iran getting the bomb? And the answer is Israel. It always comes back to Israel and the Jews. Israel is the bad boy to Obama and the sorority girls who are anti-Semitic. The sorority girls around Obama are the most anti-Semitic pack of sorority queens I've ever seen in my life. And they get away with it in the most unimaginable manner. But anyway, we'll deal with the issue later of the idiocy of the liberal Jewish community in America. It's too obvious to those of us who know them to not understand why they behave the way they do. So why does Obama want Iran to have a nuclear bomb, nuclear weapon, whatever you want to say? Once Iran has the bomb, he can blackmail Israel into giving up Judea and Samaria for a Palestinian state. This is one of his number one agenda items that's been on his mind from the day he left Punahou High School. It's one of the radical leftist dreams is to cut Israel in half and make it indefensible, but more than that, destroy it as a Jewish state. Just as he's destroying this nation as a fundamentally Christian nation, turning it into a hodgepodge, flooding us with as many Muslims, for example, as he can possibly squeeze in a shorter period of time, he would like to see Israel turned into something other than a Jewish state. That's the goal of the New World Order. And they do not want any nations that are built upon a single religion, for example. Unless, of course, they're Muslim. They can do as they wish. But as far as anyone in the sphere of the United States, no Jewish state, polyglot state. And so follow my logic. He wants Iran to have the bomb, which is why he threatened Congress with a veto today. And once Iran has the bomb, he'll blackmail Israel into giving up Judea and Samaria for a so-called Palestinian state. That's my opinion. He wants Iran to have the bomb. Now you know the whole story. At least that's one man's opinion. I'm just sitting up here on the third floor window looking down and watching the world go by. That's my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
For a few months, to see if we have the possibility of solving a big problem without resorting potentially to war.
This is the bombshell Obama threw at the American people with an IQ above 85 today. If your IQ is that of Hollywood's audience, the demo for Hollywood, you probably could care less about what's going on. But let's say your IQ is a little bit that above of reality shows, the women with big behinds whose apps you follow, and abs you can't follow. In other words, any American with an IQ above, I'd say 99. I wouldn't say 85. That's an idiot. Imbecile idiot. Remember that? More on imbecile idiot. We used to learn in high school what the IQ scores meant. Because of the dumbing down of America, there are no IQ scores permitted anymore. Because then you're liable to see that the level of American intelligence has gone that to a more about an idiot level. Remember, it was a moron, imbecile idiot. Now, I'm not making fun of handicapped people. I had a brother who was handicapped in the most severe manner, so I have great compassion for people who are handicapped in any way. But let's be clear, we have a moronic voting public that doesn't even know where Iran is, nor do they have any idea what this man just did to this world. And your president just said to Congress today, including many Democrats who know what's going on, that if they impose sanctions on Iran to stop them from developing a nuclear weapon, he will veto that. And he needs just a few months. Now, what I've read indicates Iran is only a few months from developing a bomb. So, in other words, Obama is enabling Iran to develop a bomb, a weapon, weaponize their nuclear material. Why is he doing it? He wants Iran to have the bomb. I'll tell you what, you don't agree with me? Let's take the supposition and run with me. Let's say you don't think he wants them to have a bomb, and he's a wonderful, good liberal, and he doesn't want war, and he's just doing this to see if he can do it in a peaceful manner. Okay, let's put that on the side for a minute. Now take my paranoid suspicion that he does want them to have a bomb. This is what an intelligent... if I were a national security analyst working for any country, this is what you do. You play both sides, right? So it's not outside the ken of reason. Do you know what reason is? Can you still reason? So reason would indicate, let's take that viewpoint, I'll take the viewpoint that he's an evil man, and he wants Iran to have the bomb, not to destroy America, because they wouldn't threaten us with it immediately, but he wants Israel to be threatened by the bomb, so that Israel will be blackmailed into giving up what you know is the West Bank, which the Bible knows is Judea and Samaria, and turning it into an indefensible nation and destroying Israel as an entity altogether. It will just disappear as a country. That's the hard reality. I mean, this is the existential reality of what's happening over there. Now, you could argue maybe Israel never should have been created. You can go all the way back if you want. But Israel has been created. Israel's on the ground. They've turned a desert into a thriving nation. While around them, with rare exception, there's nothing but hatred, murder, and retrograde insanity. Ask yourself why, when the Arabs had that land, they did nothing with it. What, the colonialists, the evil whites who came from Europe were so evil that they built a nation? They're evil for building a nation? Well, if you're on the left in America, you think this nation is evil because it's a civilization. What would you argue? We should not be a civilization? We should degenerate back to some tribal level? Well, it's not going to happen. But nevertheless, let's not get too esoteric. So Obama and the left wing in America, and in England, obviously, because Cameron was the yoke today, on a yoke today. Cameron came with him and backed him up. Cameron became Obama's sock puppet. And whatever Obama said, Cameron, oh yeah. I had some respect for Cameron. I mean, aside from the fact that he's done nothing to get me off the terror list. All right, forget me. I had no idea he was this much of a weakling and an appeaser. He's a Neville Chamberlain of England, which is why the UKIP party is the only hope for England, by the way. The only hope for England is the UKIP party. This guy is part of the appeasement brigade. So now, this is the number one question, and I've given you the answer. Does anyone disagree with me? I actually would like to discuss this. I don't know what you're calling, though. That's the problem. Let me just summarize. I've explained to you today why Obama threatened Congress with a veto if they put up sanctions on Iran. And the answer is because he wants Iran to get the bomb in order to blackmail Israel into giving up the West Bank for a Palestinian state. That's an entire statement. It's one man's analysis. It's what an intelligence agency would be doing anywhere in the world, whether it's in the Western world or the Eastern world or the Middle Western world. They are all analyzing what is going on geopolitically, and I'm giving you an opinion. If I worked for the CIA, which I wouldn't do, this is what would be discussed on both sides of the issue. If I worked for French intelligence, or for that matter, if I worked for Israeli intelligence or Iranian intelligence, this is what the two sides do, right? They run it both ways. You just use your mind with logic, something that God has given us. It's what separates us from the animals, is the ability to use logic. You get it? So now I've done my job for the day. I should go home, because anywhere from here is going to be downhill. It's going to be downhill. I got news. I am so beyond the point of being able to talk about what this man is doing to this country and this world that it's almost a futile thing to do every day. He is acting like a terrorist who's taken over the country. He is threatening Congress, both sides of the aisle. Don't you dare be Congress, because I know better than you. Is this not a form of terrorism for a president to warn an entire Congress not to impose sanctions on a terror state like Iran to prevent them from developing a nuclear weapon? So which side is he on? This is something ISIS would do. And he does it in his booming voice, and there they go in New York. Oh, the brigades. Yes, he's right. Oh, yeah, Harvey Weinstein. Oh, Sieg Heil. The master has spoken, but I'll take your guns away. I'll take your guns away, said Weinstein. He'll go after your guns, Weinstein. Meanwhile, the chief rabbi of Europe is demanding that the EU permit Jews to be armed, while the chief degenerate of Hollywood is producing movies to take away our Second Amendment. How does that work? How in the world do we live in a nation where everything is upside down? How do you wake up to this every day? Well, you can wake up to it and forget it. I can't. My job is to remember it and put it together for you. And if you think this is getting easier, you're mistaken. It's getting harder by the day. Why? Because I see a zero Congress on the other side. Obama will spend the next 2 years vetoing any bill that Congress sends him because they won't cooperate with the master? Can you believe this? Congress is made up of hundreds of people. Obama is one man. If he chooses to veto this, does that not make him a dictator? Cameron is now calling on our senators to tell them what to do. This has never happened in history before. Did you know that Cameron called U.S. senators to dictate to them what their vote should be? Did you know that? Do you understand this? So you say, well, Congress must be dysfunctional. No, that's not what it is. Something more than that is going on. So we, the citizens of America, are the real enemy to him. We, the citizens who speak out against him, are the enemy. Not Iran, not ISIS. We're the enemy. Do you understand that? He has painted his own citizenry as the enemy. And you have to understand what's going on in this country to understand the danger you're in. Or you could put your head in the sand and say, what can I do about it? I shouldn't even pay attention. The Cuba thing is very good, except for the Cuban people. Obama did that, too. He opened the doors to Cuba, and nothing happened for the people who were being victimized there. What then do you think is going to happen to stop him? Why is this man doing business with this Islamic terror nation called Iran? Don't you remember what they've said? What? You don't remember what they said? Well, okay, my friends, I think I'm just going to take your calls because I've said all I'm going to say. No, I haven't said all I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say again. It's how I closed the show yesterday. My opinion is the only way to stop this madman in the White House is to impeach him immediately. Knowing in advance that there's a very slim likelihood of actually winning on an impeachment hearing. But the impeachment hearing would be used to expose all of the crimes and misdemeanors that he has and is committing against the American people. Now, if, as I said to you yesterday, he is so clever, him and Eric Holder and the sorority girls from Harvard who run the nation. They know just how far to go without breaking the law. Like any good criminal, any good white-collar criminal knows how to break, just about break the law without pushing it to the point where they can be indicted. You get it? This is what a good white-collar criminal does. So this administration is filled with white-collar criminals with law degrees who have figured out how to tilt the pinball machine without getting caught tilting the pinball machine. So if you look at all of the small offenses, small and large offenses he has committed, NSA spying, I'll go down the list another day, using the IRS as a weapon against conservatives, you name it, Obamacare violating the Constitution, take your choice. I spent 12 chapters on spelling out the case against him and Stop the Coming Civil War, my current bestseller, which is still in the bookstores, incidentally, which you should read again come January, which is January, which you should buy now that January is here, and see what the indictment actually is. And you say in a hearing, if I were the lawyer for the Republican Party bringing the impeachment case against him, I would simply say that individually, none of these offenses by themselves may rise to the level of a crime or a misdemeanor. However, taken as a whole, his entire body of actions, taken as a whole, consists of crimes and misdemeanors against the Constitution and the American people. That's what I would argue. And for that reason, we're moving towards impeachment immediately to expose what he has been doing to the American people so they have a choice come 2016. That's what I would do if I were the attorney for the Republican Party, which, that's a moot point. They don't have an attorney. They have nothing but a PR firm. They can't think. The Republican Party cannot think. All they do is they act like public relations agents. They're lobbyists, fundamentally. So what are the actual crimes that he's committed? Huh? What did I put out and stop the coming civil war? What are the liberal left-wing policies that have eaten away at the principles that we patriots hold dear? Now, you've heard me on the radio for many years. What has he actually done? What am I talking about? Well, why has he purged so many of our top military commanders, thrown them out after years of brave service? Is that a crime or a misdemeanor? I don't know. Look into it. Why did he fire them? What did they do? How about the falsification of records by the Veterans Administration in order to cover up the horrific neglect of our brave soldiers. Was that a problem? How about his foreign policy decisions? How about him turning Russia into the enemy and reigniting the Cold War? Is that not sort of a crime or a misdemeanor? They were recently our ally until he turned them into an enemy. How did that happen? What does it mean for our freedom and our way of life that negligent immigration law enforcement has permitted millions of illegal aliens to cross the southern border into our nation with little fear of penalty? Is that a crime or a misdemeanor, erasing our borders? I'm giving you just a little sampler of what's in Stop the Coming Civil War, because I took a year to write that book. So I don't know what to say to you. Obama's followers will drink his Kool-Aid no matter what he does. No matter what he does, they will drink his Kool-Aid. So I will now go to the callers. Let's start with line number 8. Go ahead, please. Station, topic, name.
And reigniting the Cold War, is that not sort of a crime?
Sir, turn off your radio. Go ahead. Okay, that's Dumbo on line 8. We go to the next one. I think we need the screener to tell them to shut the radio off and listen on their phone. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Our Muslim populations, they feel themselves to be Americans. And there is... you know, this incredible process of immigration and assimilation that is part of our tradition, that is probably our greatest strength. Now, it doesn't mean that we aren't subject to the kinds of tragedies that we saw at the Boston Marathon, but that, I think, has been helpful.
The Boston Marathon bombing has been helpful? Did I hear that right? To who? Why does Obama want Iran to have the bomb? This is the screaming headline today. Double down on Iran veto. Obama, with Brit PM's backing, renews warning to Congress on new sanctions. And this British Prime Minister has the audacity, for the first time in the history of this nation, to lobby our senators against imposing sanctions on Iran. Who has compromised Cameron? Who owns him? Who's pulling his string? How did he become a stooge of Obama? How did they both become operatives of Iran? How? I mean, we all want world peace. Nobody wants war to break out. But we know what Iran will do if it gets a nuclear weapon, because they've told us what they're going to do. This is not an ordinary nation. It's a fanatical Islamic nation. It's called, isn't it called the Islamic Republic of Iran? If I'm not mistaken, somehow Obama thinks that's a good thing, but the Jewish state of Israel is a bad thing. So there's the big story of the day. GOP-led Senate plans push for more Iran sanctions. Obama brings in his British stooge to threaten Congress. Can you believe what's going on in your lifetime? Swift push for more Iran sanctions. And Obama says, don't you dare. You may have a right to vote, but I'll override your vote because I'm king. And look who's standing next to me, a descendant of King George III. Just to show you and emphasize what I become, I bring in my stooge from England. Are there any British people listening to this show who know who Cameron really is and why he has now become the stooge of Obama? Why?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's a crazy day. We wake up to unprecedented behavior on the part of an increasingly, let us say, renegade president. That's a nice word, renegade president. What would you call Obama who says to Congress, go ahead and vote, but I'll veto it anyway, and here's my stooge from across the pond who agrees with me, and the stooge from across the pond had the audacity to lobby our own Senate against imposing sanctions on Iran to stop them from developing a nuclear weapon? It's astounding to wake up to this every day. You'd think with only 2 years to go, the man would take a breather, but he said, no, I've got very little time, and I've got to get all of my agenda done. So I'm on a fast track. So now it's a little potpourri time on the Savage Nation. Remember Dianne Feinstein, who outed the CIA by releasing a U.S. Senate report on the sadistic abuse of CIA detainees in a network of secret prisons around the world? Remember the good Dianne Feinstein, how she undermined our ability to extract information from jihadists wherever they may be caught and found? And remember what happened soon after Dianne Feinstein did that? Remember the attack in France? Could it be that because she did that, our spies were nullified or were called back? Well, just hours after Dianne Feinstein released that report, calling it a stain on American values, jihadists in ISIS threw two men off a rooftop because they're homosexuals. You say you're making it up. Oh, no, I'm not making it up. Here are the pictures. They released them. I found it on the Gateway Pundit and put it on michaelsavage.com. It's horrifying. ISIS fighters throw two men off roof to their deaths for being gay in the Nineveh province. Not one word from Hollywood. Not one word from Angela Jolie. Not one word from all of the Islamist sympathizers in the Democrat Party. ISIS throws two gays to their death from a high building as a Sharia law punishment for their homosexuality. And we are told what? That they're not... You're going to be told that it's not they're not Muslims? Now we're going to be told it's not Sharia law? They say it's Sharia law, and they say they're doing it because Allah demanded it be done. Why do you think they're throwing the homosexuals off the roof? Not because they're bad people. I mean, they're very good people. They're very religious people. Now, they're not Muslim, of course, according to anybody. We don't know what their religion is. They may call themselves Islamic State, but look, who are you to tell them what they are? And who are they to tell them us who they are, rather? They don't know who they are. They're confused. What they really need is jobs and therapy. I mean, if we had a jobs program in Syria and Iraq, they wouldn't be doing this. Right? I mean, Robert, doesn't it make sense? If we had a jobs program in Iraq where they could be taught how to make camel burgers, for example, and put on little hats, little ISIS hats, and flip camel burgers, wouldn't they stop throwing gays off rooftops? They're only doing this out of frustration because there are no jobs over there. And their only job now is killing gays and killing Christians and Yazidis and blowing up churches. Raping women, that's their only, they're only reacting to a very poor economy. It's not a laughing matter, but where's the gay movement on this? When is the LGBT community going to protest this? When have you last heard a lesbian, a gay, a bisexual, or transgender talk about ISIS throwing homosexuals off rooftops? Maybe I missed the story. Huh? No answer to that one. Where is the LGBT movement on this one? Screaming against Christians, I guess. That's about it. Anyway, that's another story that's worth talking about, but don't call me about it because it's too horrible. It's too horrible. I don't want to just give you horror stories, but there's horror story after horror story in this world. So maybe we should move on to something less horrible. I'm not in the mood to move on to something less horrible. I only want to talk about the horrible things in the world because I feel it's the only way to solve the problem is to face them straight on. You know, you look at the lies about global warming. The fake scientists working for the government say it's the hottest year on record. Yet 2014 was only the 34th warmest for the United States. Great Lakes ice makes leap after cold snap. Yet the idiots who are certainly owned lock, stock, and barrel by the warmest industry say that ocean life faces mass extinction. Human activity has pushed Earth beyond planetary boundaries. These are the idiots with PhDs in universities who are simply doing what they're told to do to get their grants. I know how the grant world works. What else is in the news? Oh, it's horror. It's horror. High Times, Drudge Report says, growers struggle with glut of legal weed. They can't even get rid of it anymore. So many people are so stoned. So many idiots are smoking marijuana now that they can't even get rid of the amount they're producing. Let's see what else is in the news. I had a terrible dream last night. I don't even think I should tell you about it because it's going to be misinterpreted. And yet my dreams are part of my show. It was a terror dream. Okay, let me back it up. I'll put it to you this way. I told you I write novels. My first novel, published novel, I've done many others, but no one knows about them. My first big hit was Abuse of Power with Jack Hatfield, bestseller, New York Times. The second in the series was A Time for War, St. Martin's Press, bestseller. You wouldn't know it if you live in San Francisco because I don't exist. Although I'm the biggest hit in the history of the media in San Francisco, I don't exist to the vermin who run the media here. But I do exist to the rest of the nation. The island of pollution known as San Francisco lives in its own fetid abattoir of ignorance, which is why they elect Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer over and over again. Because in this abattoir, you need a certain type to be able to take the stench. And so, therefore, I do exist, and my novels have sold very well, Abuse of Power, Time for War. The third one in the series is going to be called, is called Countdown to Mecca, and it'll be out this spring from St. Martin's. So I'm telling you that as a prelude to what I'm about to tell you. I have a very fertile imagination, and it churns in the middle of the night. We talked about the subconscious yesterday, remember? Well, I'm one of these people who has trained myself to remember his dreams. Not all of them, but many of them I can remember. It's taken me 30 years to learn how to do this. Many people dream and don't know. They know they dream, but they don't know what their dreams are. The first rule is to train yourself to try to remember your dreams, because any healer will tell you, and I don't mean American psychiatrist, but any healer will tell you that you must be in touch with your dreams. That's number one, if you want to know who you are as a whole person. And the second part of that story is I draw a lot in my fiction writing from my dreams. So last night I dreamed, no, I shouldn't give it away. If I give it away, someone's going to steal it and write it as a novel because it's not even in the novel. Why am I telling you this? I can't tell you who the character was who did this. It occurred somewhere near a ferry terminal on a slight rise on a hill. It would look like it was in Seattle, somewhere near a ferry in Seattle. My detective had gone into a disguise mode to blend in with the crowd. And he was blending in with the crowd, and he walked up this slight incline of a street to about a 2 or 3 story apartment building built somewhere in the 40s or 50s with an old elevator, 2 or 3 stories only. I remember him pressing the button. He didn't know why he went into this building. I didn't know what he was looking for, the character. He pressed the button and remembered it only went up one floor or two. And he got out, and there were strange people in this kind of not seedy yet hallway. It was sort of a second or third rate apartment building where you could still live in it and not feel like you were in an SRO, but it was not really at all fashionable. And this detective of mine who was in disguise noticed an odd plaque on the wall. And he went over and looked at the plaque, and it was a picture of an FBI director who doesn't even exist. And it said there is a reward for an agent who has gone missing from the planet. An FBI agent has been missing from the planet. He's gone missing, called the case is cold. And he was a close friend of the FBI director, whose name I don't remember. It was a bit of a mishmash of types. He looked a little bit like the FBI director in the Ray Donovan series, that kind of creepy, seedy FBI director. And it was a bronze plaque, and it had been there quite a while. And it said, agent, and I wish I could remember the agent's name. That's the part that bothers me. It says, if anyone knows the whereabouts of Agent X who has disappeared from the face of the earth, please call this number. Yet it was set in the kind of a brass plaque, rather, on the wall. It was an odd mixture of things. And then I remember the character walking down back to the elevator, going out the front door of this building, going into the street, and the people were coming home from work. He saw working women, working men coming home, scurrying to get back into their apartments because a wind was coming off the bay. And they wanted to get into their homes and just close the door, take a shower, whatever people do when they get home from their horrible jobs. They were rushing to do, and he was going in the opposite direction down the hill. And then I woke up shuddering. And here I am doing the show today. It has nothing to do with anything, right? Now, of course, some of you will hear the dream and tell me it has deep significance. I have no idea why I told you about it. because I'm sure there's no missing FBI director. You know, psychics do these kinds of things, don't they? Doesn't the FBI now use psychics to find people, right? Don't they? So maybe there's someone missing, and they can start looking at small apartment buildings. I don't know. Somewhere near Seattle. I don't know where this dream came from. Maybe I'm a psychic. Maybe I should quit my day job and start becoming a psychic. And by the way, having said that, this is something I'm sad to tell you. But remember yesterday I proudly announced the beginning of my new career where I was going to officiate over weddings and, you know, all of that stuff. I've canceled it. Yes, I had to take down the link owing to security concerns. I will not tell you why. I will not tell you how. Let us just say I came to the conclusion, not on my own, that it would not be advisable for Michael Savage to travel or to invite strangers to a catering hall or to even a church and perform any kind of service. Given the world we live in, my best intentions aside, I have to cancel that opportunity. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And yet this man has taken all the joy out of the nation. I mean, not amongst those with an IQ below 99. They're still happy. They've never been happier. The Hollywood drug addicts are still happy. They don't know. They don't care either. I mean, if you were, what's his name, the actor that they're all talking about, like he's God with the wife, the Palestinian wife, George Clooney. He's happier than ever. He married a Jew-hating wife, in my opinion, Amal, a human rights lawyer, so-called. And his wife, Amal, very beautiful Muslim lady. Unfortunately for him, he works in a city known as Hollywood. And she thinks Israel is a criminal nation. The UN Human Rights Council announced that Clooney's wife, engaged to Clooney at the time, would serve on a panel, one that Israeli leaders have likened to a witch hunt, and whose members in the UN are bent on penalizing Israel for acting in self-defense against Palestinian rocket attacks. Clooney's wife, Almadine, declared that she would skip serving on the panel because she was too busy with 8 legal cases, but she released a statement which revealed her antipathy toward the Jewish state. This is George Clooney's wife. She said, "I'm horrified by the situation in the occupied Gaza Strip, particularly the civilian casualties have been caused, and strongly believe that there should be an independent investigation and accountability for crimes that have been committed," it read. So in other words, she's with the Hollywood A-lister George Clooney, and he's trying to become president. He brings his activism against African genocide to Obama. He campaigns against global warming. Oh, that's really brave of him. And yet, George Clooney, a lifelong fanatic liberal, has been asked by the California psychotic Democrat Party to seek office. But he says, I have to do this on a family show. I'm quoting him now. He says, "I effed too many chicks and did too many drugs, and that's the truth," he told Newsweek magazine in 2011. I think he's got it backwards. I think that should be his resume in California. That's the reason for Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein to back him. Not because he's did too many women and too many drugs. It's because he's done it that they should back him. And yet he has this wife hanging around that I don't know what he picked her up for, what this is all about. To me, it looks like a staged wedding. I'm just looking in on the outside. It looks very much like, this is the fashion now, to marry, you know, like a Middle Eastern wife. Didn't Wiener do it? Who did that one? Wiener, right? Anthony Wiener? Yeah, Anthony Wiener in New York. Didn't he do that? Didn't he marry a woman like that? Sure. That helped him. That helped him a lot when he was in trouble, didn't it? That got him to higher office. No, it didn't help him at all. Hero cat saves baby from freezing. What is this? Stupid stories in the New York Post. Wife chops off cheating husband's penis twice. That was in China. So we're not supposed to pay too much attention to it. You figure, what the heck, it's in China. She did this. She caught him cheating. She cut it off. He went to the hospital. They reattached it. She went to the hospital, and when the doctors weren't looking, she cut it off again and threw it out the window, and a cat got... I mean, that's what they're saying in China. That's not a laughing matter. What is this stupid story? How Malia Obama is shaping teen tastes? Okay, let me... I don't even want to talk about that. That's such a PR piece. They have a whole PR department for the first children now. And let's see what else is in the news. Oh, the gay thing again. Supreme Court to take on same-sex marriage. Ho-hum. Real important in the age of throwing homosexuals off the roof in the Middle East. You hear that? That's our big problem. Duke now won't allow Muslim call to prayer. That was a big turnaround. Here's one for all you deadheads. Grateful Dead reuniting for 50th anniversary. I guess they're going to get electric wheelchairs and such. 50th. Don't these people ever stop? How in the world do they keep going at age 75 and get up on the stage?
Bring it all down, man. Hey, bring it all down. And wheeling in from the left and wheeling in from the right.
And overhead will be the transfusion trees and the oxygen bottles. I mean, I'm not laughing at getting old, but for God's sakes, there's a certain point that you give it up and you move to Fort Lauderdale and you just go to the nude beach and that's the end of it. You don't actually go to the nude beach. You sit on the boardwalk looking at the nude beach. That's what they should be doing now. They're like toddlers. At a certain age, you become a toddler again. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere with all the breaking news. We'll take your calls, I promise. I've told you why Obama wants Iran to have the bomb. You get it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday. You know what I want to do right now? Because the week's coming to an end rapidly now, and you know, most people turn the radio off on the East Coast at 6 o'clock, and they do normal things on Friday nights, say. And they're not going to be able to hear anything like that after I leave the air. But this week we had some amazing stories that we covered on this program. Luckily, the show's early enough in the day to get it during a day part. Jimmy Carter on Tuesday tied the Paris terrorist attacks to the Jews in Israel. And countering him was the UKIP leader, Nigel Farage, who's being attacked by the cowardly socialist communist front, the bloc of the type we're facing here in America. I want to play Jimmy Carter in clip 15.
Well, one of the origins for it is the Palestinian problem, you know, and this aggravates people who are affiliated anyway with the Arab people who live in the West Bank and Gaza. What they're doing now, what's being done to them.
Now, of course, he's a liar and a Jew hater. In my estimation, he has been for many, many years, and he's Obama's mentor in that regard. Remember who he is. The Jimmy Carter Brzezinski block is who created Obama with Soros's money. Never forget that. But I'll show you the lie about Jimmy Carter trying to tie the Paris attacks to the Palestinian problem. What do the following countries have in common? Afghanistan, Burma, Pakistan, Philippines, Bangladesh, India, China, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Libya, Mali, Nigeria, Somalia, Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Iraq, Israel, Syria, and Yemen. What do all of these nations have in common? They are at war with Muslim fanatics. Now, some of them are Muslim-majority nations, but they are at war with Muslim fanatics, as is Israel. And yet for Jimmy Carter to continue the Hitlerian big lie that it's the Jews who are causing terrorism is not outrageous, because we've come to expect this from the Brzezinski, Carter, Obama block of Israel haters. Countering them is someone who knows his country is about to disappear in his lifetime unless the British stand up to the Islamists who have penetrated their nation and who are being treated with kid gloves. And that is the right wing, if you want to call him that. I call him a nationalist, who is known as Nigel Farage on France, where he says Europe has suffered from moral cowardice in 16.
We've got no-go zones in most of the big French cities. We've been turning a blind eye to preachers of hate that have been coming here from the Middle East and saying things for which the rest of us would be arrested. In parts of northern England, we've seen the sexual grooming scandal of underage girls committed by Muslim men in the majority. And for all of these things, we're seeing the law not being applied equally. We're seeing the police forces not actually doing their job because we've suffered from moral cowardice.
You see, he didn't say political correctness, which is a phrase I never use. You never hear Michael Savage say political correctness, do you? It's a phrase that has lost its meaning completely. The correct phrase is moral cowardice. It's a better phrase. But he is the hope for England. There are rising nationalist movements all through Europe, which is the only hope for Western civilization. Here in America, on the other hand, we have lost completely. We have an internationalist who hates this nation as it is and is trying as quickly as he can to melt us into some third world cesspool in the estimation not only of me, but of millions of men and women who know exactly what this community organizer is doing and will do unless he's stopped by the new Congress. That's my opinion. Now, today's show opened with my monologue on why Obama wants Iran to have a nuclear bomb. And I would be remiss not to play the soundbite that kicked it off. Don't play it yet, guys, because you have to hear it again if you didn't hear it, or hear it for the first time if you did hear it. The shocking news today, which you can see if you look at any legitimate news outlet, is that Obama will call it anything Islamic terror, anything. He'll call it nihilism. But bigger than that, the stooge, British Prime Minister David Cameron, who has lost all dignity, came to America today and lobbied Congress in an unprecedented manner. Now, prior prime ministers have come here and have given speeches to Congress telling them what they think or what should be done in their opinion. But I believe it's unprecedented that a sock puppet like this from England has come over here and picked up the phone and called senators and told them, don't you dare vote for sanctions on Iran. How is that possible? How is it possible that we have fallen so far as a nation that the British Prime Minister warns Congress how to vote, that if they vote on sanctions against Iran to stop them from getting a bomb, they'll be a bad person? So I want you to listen right now to the soundbite that my guys put together, which will tell the whole story to you right now.
Now, if Iran cannot provide us the kind of assurances that would lead myself, and David Cameron, and others to conclude that they are not obtaining a nuclear weapon, then we're going to have to explore other options, and I will be the first one to come to Congress and say we need to tighten the screws, and Congress needs to show patience. With respect to the veto, I will veto a bill that comes to my desk. And I will make this argument to the American people as to why I'm doing so. And I respectfully request them to hold off for a few months to see if we have the possibility of solving a big problem without resorting potentially to war.
So it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? This is what a man who is a master liar can do. A master liar can make you actually think he really doesn't want them to get the bomb when he's actually working around the clock to make sure they have the time to develop one, because experts have said they're 2 months away from developing a weapon, or they can weaponize what they have in 2 months. That's what I've read. And yet he's telling Congress they need to show patience. So let's go back in history. Hitler just invaded the Czechoslovakia. And we have a president gets up and says to Congress, please don't put sanctions on the German people. They've suffered enough. Let's see if we can work this out diplomatically. Congress needs to show patience. And with me is Neville Chamberlain of England, who is arguing to give Herr Hitler a chance to show that he means not to invade another country. Then 2 months later, he invades Poland. And again, they say, please to Congress, you must show patience or I'll veto any attempt on your part to impose sanctions on Germany. Do you understand exactly what the parallel is? It's not an exact fit. It's similar, though. And so the object here, as I told you in the beginning, and I don't want it lost because, you know, radio is interesting. There's a new audience every 15 or so minutes. In my case, it's a little longer. I have a longer time spent listening. But many of you didn't hear my opening monologue, which I'm going to repeat right now. The reason I believe Obama is against sanctions on Iran to stop them from developing a nuclear bomb is because he wants them to have a nuclear weapon. As you say, well, why would he want Iran to have a nuclear weapon? In order to counter Israel's military power and to blackmail Israel into ceding half their territory for an Arab Muslim state, which would make the Jewish state dissolve. It would disappear. There's no way it can exist. See, here's the conundrum to the whole problem. You have 3 or 4 million, I don't know how many, Palestinian individuals who want their own nation. And then you have the millions of Jews who live there who have their own nation. They can't live side by side. It's been shown when Gaza was given back to the Palestinians, what happened? They did not use the Gaza territory that was given to them to grow roses and send them to Europe. They destroyed the greenhouses that good-meaning liberals, liberal Jews in particular from New York, spent $4 million, I think, or $8 million to build greenhouses for the Palestinians prior to giving back the Gaza Strip. They thought that they'd actually grow flowers and zucchinis and ship them to Europe. Instead, the minute they got the greenhouses, they tore them apart, stole the hoses and pumps, and used them as launching pads for rockets into Israel. So, in other words, we don't know what history teaches us, then we're going to repeat history. So you got Gaza and you're doing that. What do you think they're going to do if you give them Judea and Samaria? This is not to argue the Palestinian people don't deserve their own land. They do, but where is it? So you say, well, the Jews stole it from them. I've heard the left-wing argument my whole life until I looked a little more carefully into it. May as well talk about it in a little more detail, for my opinion. I'll give you several sides to the story. When the Jews stole the land from the Palestinians, I'm using their argument, tell me what happened to all the Jews in the Arab Crescent, Jewish families that have been there since for hundreds of years, from Libya, Morocco. You go across the Arab Crescent, northern Africa. There were Jewish families there for hundreds and hundreds of years. The day Israel was founded, the Jews were kicked out of these countries and their land was stolen. Did you know that? Yeah, I bet you didn't even know that. All you hear about is, oh, the poor Palestinians, oh, the poor Palestinians, the Jews stole the land. Well, what about the 700,000 Jews who were kicked out of northern Africa and their land stolen? You know nothing about that because your education is so poor that you don't know anything about that history? So you could argue that, well, I'll tell you what, let's restore that land and those possessions to the Jews who were kicked out of northern Africa, and then we'll sit down at a negotiating table and see about the Palestinians and what land may or may not have been taken from them. That would be a real UN meeting, wouldn't it? But you haven't heard that on the table. Why? Because the left wing has controlled the media for so long in this country that you only get part of the news. But thank God, I would have to say thank God, there are people like me who know history and have been given the opportunity to discuss real history right here on the Savage Nation. You say, oh, it's just an AM radio show. I don't hear any Vivaldi music. It can't be true. It's not NPR, da, 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 with little polite voices of all the capons, all the caponized men on NPR who give you all the news that's not fit to print. Yeah, they give you the news that's not even fit to print for the New York Times. That's what you get on NPR. So if you really had a really Republican Congress, one of the things they would do is end the propaganda of the NPR. They would defund it immediately and make them go get a real job somewhere. They could teach in a junior college. They could teach communications in Missouri somewhere if they could ever get the job. I kind of doubt it. So defund NPR and stop the propaganda of the left. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. That's really on the top of the list for Boehner. Anyway, you're listening to a radio show. It's only one man's opinion. I sit in the radio studio by myself. I have a crew in Dallas, Texas. I'm in San Francisco. My staff is in Dallas. By a miracle, the show goes from my microphone up to New York, up to a bird, and then from the satellite down to stations to you in a millisecond. And on my desk on the left, I have a screen which shows me, it used to show me your name, your station, your city, and what you're calling about. Now all it says is status ready and nothing else, and all the lights are lit. And I have on my desk a certain figure that I keep. If you ever saw what I had here, you'd say, wow, what a psychological mess this is. If you could ever see the things I have on my desk that keep me happy and stimulated during the show. Teddy is not with me today. He's with the groomer. One thing I've kept for years is a Mesoamerican figure. Look, Robert, you see it? Isn't he weird looking? It's a figure from Mesoamerica. Remember the movie Apocalypto with the weird Aztec faces? I have an antique Mesoamerican face that's totally, kind of looks like my gardener. But, I mean, he's a nice guy, the guy I know now. But this could be one of his ancestors, the Mesoamerican face. Nice guy. But I keep him here and I stare at him in that this is the coming of America. The new America is the old Aztec empire. So I'm kind of getting into the spiritual. On my left side, I have the most frightening thing you've ever seen in your life. It's a clown made of glass. A multicolored clown made of glass. Is he frightening or what? Look at these guys. That is the creepiest thing. That makes Freddy look friendly. And this is one. It's a piece of art glass I found in an auction gallery in South Florida that an old Jewish lady must have had in her bedroom. It must have reminded her of her husband before he died of a heart attack. And she must have had it commissioned. But this thing is a frightening figure, I got to tell you. And it's so well, it's such a high piece of art that I keep it on the table. To just show you that I'm not just a, you know, a highbrow guy. I mean, I like weird clown figures, Mesoamerican figures. Then I have an NBC On Air sign, a 1940s original, that I could actually click and it says on. And it says NBC, I can't help that. That's long before NBC was taken over by the left-wing psychotics. And a lot of other things that I use, and it keeps me happy. Mounds of papers, three computer screens. And we're talking about religious terrorism and free speech and how it's under attack. And free speech is my business, by the way. So whether you like me or not is irrelevant. Because the First Amendment was created to protect my kind of speech, not to protect NPR. You don't need a First Amendment to protect NPR. That's polite speech. Right? That's nothing. They don't need the First Amendment. I do. I am the one who needs the First Amendment because I offend people, not on purpose all the time, but sometimes I do offend people, and sometimes I do it on purpose to wake you up. But the fact is that the First Amendment was created to defend a speech that's unpopular. Did you know that? You know where I learned that? And it's been picked up, I've noticed, in the media. They've heard it on my show over and over again because I won the Freedom of Speech Award in 2007, which I replayed last week. But do you know where I heard that? That speech needs protection like that? I learned it from Winston Churchill in one of his great speeches. I wish the guys could find it. I've asked them to search for it. It can't be found again. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth.
For almost two centuries, America and Britain have stood as kindred spirits in defending our freedoms and advancing our shared prosperity. Today, as we survey a world in flux, our alliance stands strong, okay, rooted in its...
I want you to listen to what this straw man sounds like compared to Winston Churchill, how hollow Obama's sock puppet Cameron sounds, speaking in generalities about freedom and a world in flux, not once saying Nazi, not once saying communist, as Churchill would say, not once saying Islamic fascism. I have a speech for you that I can only begin to read to you. It goes back to 1938, the defense of freedom and peace, the lights are going out. One of the great speeches of our time. And he says, I do not know how, and this was a speech to the United States. Compare it to Cameron, the sock puppet. Churchill said, I do not know how long such liberties will be allowed. The stations of uncensored expression are closing down. The lights are going out. But there is still time for those to whom freedom and parliamentary government means something to consult together. And he speaks in truth and earnestness in this speech in a way that Cameron would cry if he actually listened to the speech. That's if the man is capable of tears. He calls Nazis Nazis. He calls communists communists. He calls dictatorships dictatorships. He talks about minorities being stepped on in various countries and not one word about the Yazidis or the Christians being crushed either from Obama or Cameron. What hollow men. What straw men. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As a student of history, let me explain something to you. No nation has ever seen its demographics change without first having lost the war and been conquered. I'll start again. If you look back through the history of the world, we're living through unprecedented times where America's demographics are being changed in front of our eyes without having lost the war. We're being dominated by an invasion from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and other nations, as well as individuals from Africa and the Middle East, changing the demographics right in front of our eyes. The same is going on in England, where because of their cowardice, the nation now is a laughingstock. It's not England anymore. They're calling it Londonistan. There are cities that police fear to go in because the Muslims will beat them up or kill them. I want to go back in history because today is a strange day in that Cameron came to America and lobbied American senators not to impose sanctions on the Hitler-esque regime of our time in Iran. Now remember why I say this. I say it because it's true. They're saying we need a few more months to see if we can do this without putting sanctions on them. Let them develop. Let them do what they're doing. They won't develop a bomb. And if they don't, well, then we'll do something. And he gets Cameron here to back him up. And Cameron does something that's never been done. He doesn't go before Congress in a speech, but he calls them behind the scenes and lobbies them not to impose sanctions on Iran. Give them more time, he says. So let's begin this hour in the Savage Nation by playing that soundbite all over again, Robert. It's important.
Now, if Iran cannot provide us the kind of assurances that would lead myself, and David Cameron, and others to conclude that they are not obtaining a nuclear weapon, then we're going to have to explore other options, and I will be the first one to come to Congress and say we need to tighten the screws, and Congress needs to show patience. With respect to the veto, I will veto a bill that comes to my desk, and I will make this argument to the American people as to why I'm doing so. And I respectfully request them to hold off for a few months to see if we have the possibility of solving a big problem without resorting potentially to war.
Other than his booming voice, you're listening to a coward, a man who chooses to use all of his powers as president to attack not the Hitlers of our time, but the American people themselves. Now, I want to play by comparison for you a speech. I want to read a speech that Churchill gave back in 1938 with a broadcast to the United States and to London. And it was entitled, The Defense of Freedom and Peace, The Lights Are Going Out. And he says, the American people have formed a true judgment upon the disaster which has befallen Europe. Very similar, doesn't it? They realize perhaps more clearly than the French and British publics have yet done the far-reaching consequences of the abandonment and ruin of the Czechoslovak Republic. And he talks about what Hitler was doing. This is before we were at war with Hitler, remember. And he says, I hold that the German dictator would have been confronted with such a formidable array that he would have been deterred from his purpose. And it's true, by the way. History has shown us that Hitler never thought that he would be unopposed. And he was waiting for any European nation to fight him in the beginning, but because they didn't, he kept advancing. History is repeating itself. And he says, but all these backward speculations belong to history. It is no good using hard words among friends about the past. And he goes on and he talks about all the world wishes for peace and security. And he says, have we gained it by the sacrifice of the Czechoslovak Republic? Here was the model democratic state of Central Europe, a country where minorities were treated better than anywhere else. It has been deserted, destroyed, and devoured. It is now being digested. The question which is of interest to a lot of ordinary people, common people, is whether this destruction of the Czechoslovak Republic will bring upon the world a blessing or a curse. And then he says, we must all hope it will bring a blessing, that after we have averted our gaze for a while from the process of subjugation and liquidation, everyone will breathe more freely, that a load will be taken off our chest. We shall be able to say to ourselves, well, that's out of the way anyhow. Now let's get on with our regular daily life. But are these hopes well-founded? Or are we merely making the best of what we had not the force and virtue to stop? That is the question that the English-speaking peoples in all their lands must ask themselves today. Is this the end or is there more to come? And what he was talking about was, after they threw Czechoslovakia to Hitler, was it going to stop? Does it sound familiar to what Obama just said? Give him two more months and then we'll see. Do you not see the appeasement? And then he asks, Churchill did, can peace, goodwill, and confidence be built upon submission to wrongdoing backed by force? Or, he says, may I put this question in the largest form? Has any benefit or progress ever been achieved by the human race by submission to organized and calculated violence? As we look back over the long story of the nations, we must see that, on the contrary, Their glory has been founded upon the spirit of resistance to tyranny and injustice, especially when these evils seem to be backed by heavier force. Since the dawn of the Christian era, a certain way of life has slowly been shaping itself among the Western peoples, and certain standards of conduct and government have come to be esteemed. After many miseries and prolonged confusion, there arose into the broad light of day the conception of the right of the individual, his right to be consulted in the government of his country, Mr. Obama, his right to invoke the law even against the state itself, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. Independent courts of justice, Mr. Hussein Obama, were created to affirm and enforce this hard-won custom. This was assured throughout the English-speaking world and in France by the stern lessons of the revolution, what Kipling called leave to live by no man's leave underneath the law. Now in this resides all that makes existence precious to man and all that confers honor and health upon the state. I want to read you one more paragraph. It's so important that you hear this. Because we see the cowardice of Obama or the capitulation of Obama and Cameron that will drag us into the dark ages. So let me read Churchill in 1938. We are confronted with another theme. It is not a new theme. It leaps out upon us from the dark ages. Racial persecution, religious intolerance, deprivation of free speech, the conception of the citizen as a mere soulless fraction of the state. To this has been added the cult of war. Does it sound familiar to you? Is that what the Islamofascists are doing? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that the ISIS people, their fellow travelers, even amongst the Muslims here in this country, many of whom are haters, as you know, are not trying to drag us into the dark ages where their vision of racial persecution, religious intolerance, deprivation of free speech, the conception of the citizen as a mere soulless fraction of Allah. To this has been added the cult of war, where children are to be taught in their earliest schooling the delights and profits of conquest and aggression. Do we not see this in the Middle East? I can read more of his speech. And he goes on and he says, like the communists, the Nazis tolerate no opinion but their own. Like the communists, they feed on hatred. Like the communists, they must seek from time to time and always at shorter intervals a new target, a new prize, a new victim. That, for example, would be the methodology of Obama and de Blasio and Al Sharpton. Their new victim now are the police themselves. That's their new target. That's their new prize. That's their new victim, the police. They say the communist dictator, the Nazi dictator, he says he can go forward, he cannot go back. He must blood his hounds and show them sport, or else, like Actaeon of old, be devoured by them. All strong without, he is all weak within. As Byron wrote 100 years ago, these paggard things of saber sway with fronts of brass and feet of clay. But then he adds, no one must, however, underrate the power and efficiency of a totalitarian state, where the whole population of a great country, amiable, good-hearted, peace-loving people, are gripped by the neck and by the hair by a communist or a Nazi tyranny, for they are the same thing spelt in different ways. The rulers for the time being can... I could go on and on. Am I talking to myself? Am I talking to myself? Is America listening? Is the world listening to what we are facing after today's shameful cowardice enacted by Obama and Cameron, who threatened our Congress that if they do the right thing and impose sanctions on Iran to stop the terrorist nation of Iran from developing a nuclear weapon, he will veto the Congress itself? And who backs him up? The straw man from England. Not Winston Churchill, but Cameron. And the best way to make this point or drive it home is to play a few words from the greatest man of the last century, one of the greatest men of all time, Winston Churchill. Let's hear it. Play it again.
Alexander the Great remarked that the peoples of Asia were slaves because they had not learned to pronounce the word no. Let that not be the epitaph of the English-speaking people, or of parliamentary democracy, or of France, or of the many surviving liberal states of Europe. There, in one single word, is the resolve which the forces of freedom and progress, of tolerance and goodwill, there is the resolve which they should take. It is not in the power of one nation, however formidably armed. Still less it is in the power of a small group of men, violent, ruthless men who have always, however, to cast their eyes back over their shoulders. It is not in their power to cramp and fetter the forward march of human destiny. The preponderant world forces are upon our side. They have but to be combined to be obeyed. We must arm. Britain must arm. America must arm.
All right, let's pause right here. No doubt. Trying to get the West to come out of their liberal sleep. He was trying to arm the people, get them ready for war, because he knew that the Nazis were marching. They were on the warpath, just as we know the Islamo-fascists are on the warpath. And yet we have no Winston Churchill. We have no leader. Nothing. Zero. We have appeasers and capitulators saying Hitler doesn't mean to do any more harm. All those maimed soldiers you see on the Wounded Warriors Project, the TV ads, how are they wounded? Who was funding the IEDs? It was Iran, the very country that Obama is fronting for now, telling us to give them a little more time. And I'm going to pause right here because this is a national radio show heard on a certain number of stations, about 250. On the internet, it's heard in places around the world. And I feel tonight has been a very special night. I think we've come to a crossroads from which we can never return. When I see our president dragging in a stooge, the Prime Minister of England, who I had much respect for before this, who threatens our own Congress, which is finally showing the spine to stand up to Iran, I realize that we have an absolute dictatorship running this country. And I'll pause right here and be right back on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
The phenomenon of violent extremism, the ideology, the networks, the capacity to recruit young people. This has metastasized, and it is widespread, and it has penetrated communities around the world. I do not consider it an existential threat.
Again, appeasement. He won't say radical Islam. Cameron did. President of France did, but not our president, our little dictator there. And the only parallel in history that I can think of is the following soundbite, which is of Neville Chamberlain appeasing Hitler. Listen.
The German Führer and Chancellor and the British Prime Minister have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Yep, Herr Hitler signed that piece of paper. And then if you go back to Churchill's speech on the eve of World War II, and he talks about men like Obama, and he says the dictators are afraid of words and thoughts. Thoughts stirring at home, all the more powerful because forbidden. Terrify them. A little mouse of thought appears in the room, and even the mightiest potentates are thrown into panic. They make frantic efforts to bar our thoughts and words. They're afraid of the workings of the human mind. Cannons and airplanes they can manufacture in large quantities, but how are they to quell the natural promptings of human nature, which after all these centuries of trial and progress has inherited a whole armory of potent and indestructible knowledge? Now listen to this, how he defines dictatorship. Dictatorship, he says, the fetish worship of one man. Does that not sound familiar to you in America? Amongst the moronic, psychotic, slavish liberals? Dictatorship, the fetish worship of one man. A state of society where men may not speak their minds. Did you hear that one? You know what that means, don't you? The curtailment of free speech by the radical feminists and their fellow travelers on college campuses. A state of society where men may not speak their minds. That's called political thought control. Such a state of society cannot long endure if brought into contact with the healthy outside world. The light of civilized progress, with its tolerances and cooperation, with its dignities and joys, has often in the past been blotted out. But I hold the belief that we have now at last got far enough ahead of barbarism to control it and to avert it, if only we realize what is afoot and make up our minds in time. We shall do it in the end, but how much harder our toil for every day's delay. And then Churchill asks a question. Is this a call to war? Does anyone pretend that preparation for resistance to aggression is unleashing war? I declare it to be the sole guarantee of peace. And he's trying to argue for the rearming of America. I get it. But there are so many parallels to the liberal socialist dictatorship that we have in this country, where the liberals have a fetish worship of this man called Obama. A state of society where men may not speak their minds without being thrown out of companies, not thrown out of academic positions, not thrown out of Hollywood, not have their screenplays looked at, not have their books published, not have their thoughts broadcast on Fox News. A state of society where men may not speak their minds. These are chilling times, but it takes people like me to remind you of the times we are in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to thank my incredible producers, Robert Borowski on the big board, playing the organ known as the radio board. Jim Verde. Did I get your name right, Jim? Jim is on the call screening. He doesn't do anything now. No, he's been doing great research during the show. He got me the Winston Churchill speech. And I want to say this is an almost unprecedented day and show, because I haven't taken a call in 2 hours. You'd say, oh, you're doing unprotected talk. You're just the lazy man's radio. Was this lazy man's radio today? I took one or two calls. I hung up on one caller because he's a regular, and I can't have regulars because of the same story every time he calls. No, but I did 2 straight hours on what's going on in the world. When you see Obama the dictator, he's a martinet, really, by any terms. But what strikes me as odd about him? He saves all of his hatred for the American people and for Congress, and he's a total wimp when it comes to the enemies of freedom. This is the confusion in the minds of many of us. And the only conclusion is that he's working with the enemies of freedom to put the lights out. He is working with them to put the lights out in our own country. How else do you explain his behavior? Always parsing words about radical Islam. Even the middle-of-the-road Fox News, they do a great job, but even they are saying he'll call it anything except radical Islam. Why? Why does he apologize for Iran today? Why does he tell Congress, don't you dare put sanctions on them, or else I'll veto it? Why? Why does he do that when his own party wants sanctions on Iran? Menendez is no conservative. He's a liberal Democrat from New Jersey. So yesterday I read a line, is the White House a sleeper cell? It was written by Roger Simon of PJ Media. I thought that kind of says a lot. It would explain an awful lot. Now, you could take it a different way. A sleeper cell meaning they're asleep. Sleeper cell meaning they're working for the opposition, the enemy. Any way you want to take it, everyone's asking that question who has a rational mind. Anyone except the worshippers of the martinet. So let me go to you, the caller, and take your temperature today on the Savage Nation in the 20-so minutes that remain on this program. Let me go to line number 8. Line 8, please tell us what station name topic.
David Massioni, Hyannisport, Massachusetts. No, I'm not a Democrat. Listen to you on KSFO, streaming audio over the Internet. Topic is President Obama. And I am not talking about Barack Obama. I'm talking about Michelle. You see where I'm going with this?
I'm listening. Please keep going.
Okay, so she's been very low profile the last 6-8 months, hasn't she? Why is that? Because she's on the offense. Her time is running out, okay? Clearly indicated today with Cameron, okay? You ask, why would Obama do what he does? Because he's doing it for a reason. He's not a patriot. Forget high crimes and misdemeanors. This is straight treason against the Union. This guy...
I don't think you're the only one saying that, my friend.
Well,
I don't think you're the only one seeing treason in the air.
In the Black House, and that's not a racial comment. Black indicates what? Black magic, the black...
It means lights are going out. That's what it means.
You know what
I'm... But I want to comment on your statement about Michelle Obama. She's extremely unpopular, which is why they pulled her off the stage. Despite what the PR arm of the White House and the Democrat Party says, she is an extremely unpopular first lady. However, she has ambitions for higher office, and the word is she's going to run for the Senate seat in California, being abandoned by the Harrod and Barbara Boxer. That's the word, which is, of course, the road to the White House, along the lines of, what is her name, Hillary Clinton taking the JFK, the RFK seat, RFK Jr. seat in New York, the assured liberal seat, and then moving right into the, as a carpetbagger. I mean, the Clintons were not from New York, but they carpetbagged into Chappaqua. She became senator. Now she'd like to be president. And the Obamas are certainly not Californians, but she'll carpetbag her way into the state of California. And again, go around the rules in order to make up her own rules, run for the Senate, win it. She'd be a slam dunk. And then she'll run for the presidency in God knows what year. That's what I am reading. Let's go to the next caller. Line one. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I've got two questions. One, the man right before me, I can't believe I was on hold for so long, and he kind of asked the same question I was going to ask. If somebody wanted to destroy the country from the inside, how would they have done anything different than what Obama's done? He's destroying our borders. He's freed enemies to go back and fight against us. He exchanged a traitor, one of our men, a guy who deserted, for five top-level Taliban, and I mean, there's just too much. He's destroying. Why is he not being brought up on treason charges? And I have another.
I don't know. Look, I wrote a book called "Stop the Coming Civil War." Do you have a copy?
No, I don't. But
all right. Well, stay on the line because you're going to get one. I try to argue this. It was published in October. It became a 5-week bestseller on the New York Times list. So someone read the book. And the chapter one is entitled Graduating to Treason. So I didn't mince words. I saw what they were doing. I know that he's been at war with America from the day he became president. And he said he was at war when he said he was going to transform it.
None of our elected officials or Rubios or anybody like bringing him up on charges. The average, you can't be mad at the average citizen who doesn't know what they don't know.
That's correct. No, I'm not mad at the average guy. He's got to make a living. He's got a life to take care of. He's got his body to take care of, his marriage, his needs. So they leave it to the politicians. And then when you get Boehner and McConnell usurping the election and thinking it was about them, now you know why all we're hearing is about the Keystone XL pipeline.
They betrayed us too. Boehner and O'Connell
have... Of course they did. Well, you made your point. Chapter 2, page 16. Michael Savage. Right now, Americans are angrier and more divided than I've seen them since the 1960s. What fires this rage is that we become a post-constitutional society. As you'll read in the coming pages, the system has been turned upside down. What's right is wrong. What's good is bad. What's subversive is patriotic. We now exist at the whim of lobbyists who control a government that is liable to do anything it wants to satisfy its lust for power. Right now, the nation is a tinderbox that can easily go up in flames because we're increasingly under the thumb of an administration that is destroying our 200-year-old tradition of defending our borders, language, and culture, and replacing it with a culture of statelessness and corruption. Now, who has written anything more succinct than I have on this topic? You'd expect one of our politicians to read such a speech, wouldn't you? I haven't heard it yet. I hear jingoism about middle-class values and such. We are being flogged to death by this administration. Flogged with lies, flogged with threats, flogged with deceit, flogged with a certain form of tyranny, albeit a soft tyranny, but a tyranny nevertheless. Let's go to some callers now. Line 7, you're up. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, this is Art from Dallas, WBAP, and my topic is appeasement. Michael, you're spot on everything you say every single day. It's amazing. But I'm thinking that this appeasement, the bigger sinister appeasement, is our Congress appeasing this president. It's one thing to appease a foreign leader and to avoid war, but it's another thing for our government to appease the president who's not acting in our best interest.
Well, what can we do about it?
That's the mystery.
You see, I have to repeat something that I've said over and over again. We live in a dictatorship punctuated by elections every few years. We, the people, have now been put in the freezer. The politicians we elected were not those that we elected. Did you go to the polls and vote for Boehner and McConnell? Of course you didn't.
No.
You went to the polls to bring in the young blood, the new conservatives, and they were elected in a landslide, a major landslide. And yet what happened was the Better Business Bureau representatives, the lobbyists for the Better Business Bureau, Boehner and McConnell, stepped forward and said, thank you for reelecting us. We'll give you absolute nothing. We will appease Obama. That's what's going on. I don't know. I don't know what to do at this point. I do not. Short of rebellion, I don't know what to do. Okay, how's that? Short of rebellion, and I'm not a rebel leader. I'm not Fidel Castro willing to go live in the mountains of California and come down from the Sierra Madre a year from now, either a captured or a leader. I'm not that type of personality. But let me tell you something. We may need a Che Guevara of the right in order to save this country, because this cannot go on any longer. This appeasement of Islamofascism, this appeasement of this dictator in the White House, this appeasement of the perverted Socialist Democrat Party, this appeasement of everything that we believe in, appeasement, 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 cannot go on any longer. I don't go out much in the public, but everywhere I go, the few people I meet come over to me and they say it quietly, he's a traitor. He's killing us. He's going to destroy the country. Everyone comes up to me with the same statement. And some of these men are war heroes. They fought in Vietnam. I met a guy last night who fought in Vietnam. He's suffering cancer from Agent Orange. Another brave man. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. He knows who Obama is. Obama is Ho Chi Minh, but not as noble as Ho Chi Minh, because at least Ho Chi Minh had his countrymen's hearts and minds in his own heart and mind. In that way, Obama is worse than Ho Chi Minh. He's the leader of some sort of subterfuge for powers that we can only imagine. What does he actually represent? Who does he represent? What is he arguing so hard for? Who does he represent? Well, let's go down the list. Let's start with Israel. Why has Obama decided to throw Israel to the Islamic wolves? Simple. He did a calculation. There are more Muslims and there's more Arab money than there are Jews and Jewish money. End of story. So the age of Jewish money dominating the Democrat Party is over. It's now Arab-Muslim money. Wake up and smell the pita bread. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
What we did was systematically, with the help of Congress, construct the most forceful, most effective sanctions regime in modern history. And what was remarkable was that when I came into office, the world was divided around this issue.
Turn it off. And Iran was, he's trying to justify his appeasement of Iran today. And going back to this is an historic day, write it down, because he said he'll veto any attempts by Congress to impose sanctions on Iran to stop them from getting a nuke. Cameron, although he went along with it, had a very hard line on Islamist extremists, while Obama wouldn't even say the I word. Today, Cameron said that Islamism is a poisonous ideology. He called them a radical death cult of a narrative. Unsparing in his condemnation of Islamist terrorists today as he stood beside President Zero in the White House. French officials last week, following the deadly attacks in Paris, described the problem as a very serious Islamist extremist terrorist threat. But President Zero, the U.S. president, stayed the left-wing rhetorical course. Despite the increasingly tough rhetoric of reality from Cameron and Hollande and others, President Zero continued to describe the enemy as, quote, violent extremism, violent terrorism, even nihilism. Nihilism. Can you imagine how far this man will go to turn his head, or turn your head rather, away from the dangers of radical Islam. So what else can I say to you but what I've said to you? I've given you 3 hours of my soul tonight. I wouldn't say it was easy. I wouldn't say it was hard. It's what I do. According to the scriptures, a man at certain ages is meant for certain things. At a young age, a man is meant for studying. When he hits a certain age in Jewish tradition, at 13 years old, he is brought before his elders. And then when he's 18 years old, it said he's capable and ready for marriage. They say a 20-year-old is ready to pursue a livelihood. A 30-year-old is for full strength. A 40-year-old is for understanding. And a 50-year-old for the ability to offer counsel. That's why I'm on the radio. That's why I write books. I'm giving you my counsel about what is going on in your nation. Am I alone in my analysis? Do I do this for effect? Do you think I'm merely a shock jock or an entertainer, as the left would have you believe? Is that what you think I do? I do it to shock you? Well, sometimes I do shock you, but I don't do it to shock you. I do it to shock you into awareness. How do you explain that President Zero refuses to call the enemy the enemy? How is it that President Zero will not even go as far as the very liberal Cameron, the very socialist French prime minister, and call it like it is? Why will President Zero why does President Zero refuse to call it like it is? Why does he call it nihilism? Extremism. Why? He says, oh, I do not consider it as an existential threat. He says, oh, this is a problem we'll solve, as David has said. David's his buddy, called him bro. We are stronger. We are representing values that the vast majority of Muslims believe in. Intolerance and in working together to build rather than to destroy. Where do Muslims believe that? In Turkey? In Saudi Arabia? In Iran? In Pakistan? Where does the vast majority of Muslims believe in our values? Where? Perhaps maybe in America, maybe that's what he's referring to. I hope he's right. They believe in tolerance and working to build rather than to destroy. I pray to God he's right. He says we're stronger because we have values. That's not what defeated Hitler. Hitler was not defeated by Western values. Hitler was defeated by bombs, by bullets, and by human lives. That's what defeated Hitler. And my friends, I'm sorry to tell you that our values are not going to save us. That's schoolboy talk. That's the talk for schoolgirls in a library. That's the kind of crap that you'd hear in a university today about our higher values while they go out of their way to crush our higher values at every turn. They talk about freedom of speech while crushing it. They talk about freedom of religion while attacking Christianity and supporting Islam at Duke University. It's a world that's gone upside down because of President Zero. Make no mistake about it, we are living through dangerous times, and they're only about to get much worse. I'm sorry for the bad news. Please, I apologize.